Well, Christmas is a great time of anticipation. I remember growing up in our farm, putting up the Christmas tree. And I think in the late 60s, we were trying to be modern because we had this tree that was all silver tinsel. And we put it together with all these little poles. And then we had a rotating color light that would shine up on that sucker. And it was like, oh my goodness, the greatest new thing, you know. And I was asking my brothers, I said to my brothers and sisters, I go, does anybody still have that tree? Oh man, I'd love to see it. None of them. I think we got rid of it for probably plenty of good reasons. But anyway, but I loved it because when that tree went up, that was the beginning of anticipation for me. It was only a few more weeks before there'd be presents under that sucker. And man, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for that. And so it was just this time of anticipation. The waiting almost killed me, but the anticipation was great. The story of Christmas is filled with anticipation as well. Long before the first one, way back in Genesis 3, when God had promised to send a deliverer. Throughout the Old Testament, there were prophecies that parents taught their children about this deliverer. And with each new king, they wondered, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? And then finally, they knew God would keep his promise. And finally, the one would come. In the Greek language, there's two words that are used to communicate time. The first is chronos, and that has to do with like seconds, minutes, hours, years, that kind of time. But then there's a second word, kairos. And kairos has to do with appointed time or opportunity or the right moment. And that's what Christmas was. It was the kairos. And we're going to talk about that. But before Jesus was born, 350 years earlier, another boy was born. And we know him today as Alexander the Great. And during his lifetime, he attempted to unite the world under one flag and language, and he almost did, as most of the world was speaking Greek at the end of his reign. Rome rose to power, and with that came kind of stability and some peace, and also the building of roads, which allowed people to begin to travel long distances. It was at this very time that Jesus was born. Imagine the story of Jesus coming in words, the good news, the gospel that Jesus is going to die for our sins. The anticipating of the Messiah. And it was just at that time, as Kevin Johnson writes, I've been reading through this little devotion called Arrival. And as Kevin Johnson writes, a story worth spreading began to spread at a time it was able to. All speaking Greek, now there's a road system, and the time was for Jesus to come. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time had come, when the kairos had come, God sent forth his son. People were waiting on and anticipating the Messiah, and God does not operate necessarily on our chronos, right? But he does operate on kairos. And he came in a moment, the perfect time, the right moment, to establish his presence among us. That's what Christmas is about. It has always been, and that's the theme of our messages the next 3 weeks, God's presence, God with us, the Emmanuel. And that has always been his plan, is to be with us. You see that in Genesis, when he made creation. When he created everything, it was, let us make man in our image and our likeness. There was fellowship and togetherness in the Trinity. When we get to Exodus 3 and Moses going, I don't want to go to Pharaoh. And what did he say? I will go with you. When all the kings and all the prophets, when they went into battle and they said all these things, he said, I will speak through you. I will go before you. I will go with you. And then in the New Testament, Jesus, he promises the deposit of the Holy Spirit in every believer's life when they believe that he would be with them and he never leaves you, never forsakes you. And then even in his call on every person's life who's a believer, Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations, what does he end it with? And surely I am with you to the end of the age. God's desire has always been for us not to live this Christian life on our own, but for him to be with us and to him live through us in doing so. God's presence. He wants to be with us, and he is with us. So today, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and let's look at the present. Today's message is on the present. Beginning in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. 4 points out of this I want to point to today. First, we have the setting. 18, just the first part. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. So here's Mary, a teenage girl, pledged to be married to a man, most likely it was arranged marriage, excited to begin her new life with him. You know, probably making wedding plans, right? Okay? But the remaining words of verse 18 change everything. And I think our perspective on this moment is kind of unfair. We know the conversation she has with Angel Gabriel. We know that Joseph thinks and decides. We know that she goes on to give birth to the Savior of the world. But imagine hearing this idea for the first time, being Mary. Imagine facing Joseph as a pregnant teenage fiancé. Imagine trying to process what it means to have God's son. Just imagine. And I, you know, all these kind of things, I'd freak out. And Mary did too. That's why, what does the angel Gabriel say to her when he sees her? "Don't worry, the Lord is with you," he says. "The Lord is with you." Again, God making known his presence. The Lord is with you. Presence, and this is the setting. And then comes the scandal, right? But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had his mind to divorce her quietly. Because we know Joseph ultimately gets met by an angel too and marries Mary anyway, it's easy to look past kind of this verse as well, right? But imagine what it's like to be Joseph. You've entered into an arranged marriage only to find out your fiance is pregnant while you've remained faithful and pure. It had to have been devastating for Joseph. According to Deuteronomy 22, Joseph had the right to have her taken out and have her stoned for being impure while she was being his fiance. But because of his character, Joseph chooses not to do that. Then we have the intervention. Joseph's plan is to break it up, but in comes God. Isn't that how God works in our lives? We come up with a plan, and then God steps in. How many has that ever happened to? Yes? Right? What does it say in Scripture? The plan, you know, there is a right way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death sometimes. But God has plans for us, and he steps in. And this is the intervention. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Again, imagine being Joseph and hearing this. You know, if it's me, I'm still a little bit confused. And he gets this message in a dream, all right? Well, I'm just going to say it. In my years as a youth minister, I've had lots of students share their dreams with me. And I want you to know there's some pretty crazy, weird, hilarious dreams. And if you can remember your dreams, you're thinking, this is wacko, right? Dreams can be like that. And I wouldn't plan on trying to act out any of those dreams those students have told me or to act on. But you know what? Joseph does. Joseph does. And that's because he had faith. I really have to admire his faith in him. You know, March of 1991, I proposed to Jean. I asked her to marry me. And then we began the time of preparing for the wedding, right? Now, imagine Jean coming up to me and saying, hey, can we talk? First of all, whenever your wife asks if we can talk, usually you're thinking, what have I done, right, as a husband? She says, can we talk? I'm like, sure, babe, what's wrong? She says, I need to tell you something. I'm pregnant. I would have been devastated. I probably would have looked at her and said, how did this happen? Well, I know how it happens, okay? And she goes, no, you don't know how it happens. I said, I do know how it happens. She goes, no, you didn't know how it happens. And we might go back and forth in an argument like that. I'm just trying to give you a picture of the scene here, okay? Well, it was God. Oh, sure, right. You're going to tell me God got you pregnant. It's kind of a crazy story we're telling people, right? Isn't it? And that's why I think Joseph, hearing it for the first time, you know, even after the angel comes into the, I'd had a dream, and it's a dream, an angel comes in a dream and says, Mr. Bill, she's telling you the truth, it's God. Even after that, I'd be thinking, oh, I don't know what to think about this. Because first of all, I can't remember my dreams. And the ones I remember make absolutely no sense, okay? But Joseph, by faith, trusted God for what he couldn't understand. Isn't that what faith is anyway? Trusting God when we don't understand? When we don't have all the information? And Joseph does that. Well, then we come to the focus of our message today, which is the present, the incarnation. Okay? By the way, incarnation is one of those churchy words, so we like to describe them. It's like in excelsis Deo, you know? What does that mean? Deo is God. Excelsis is in the highest, and glory is glory to God in the highest. So it makes sense. It's good we explain those things. I love that fact that only in church can we get away with ruining every rule there is in language. You know, glory is a three-syllable word, but we hold it for about 30 syllables. So anyway, but it's good. I love that because I think I butcher the American language anyway, so I feel good when I'm hearing music. Yes. So anyway, so incarnation is, carne is flesh, you know, like if you're a carnivore, you're a meat eater, you're flesh. So carne is flesh, and in is in the flesh, so Jesus comes in the flesh. That's what the incarnation is, okay? So you hear that word incarnation, you're going, that makes sense. It's God coming in the flesh. And so, beginning in verse 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Three things here. First of all, Jesus. They call him Jesus because Jesus means Savior. And he's going to save us from our sins. You know, people were well aware they were sinners because they were killing animals all the time. And because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And they were covering up their sin. That was the old test. That was the old covenant. Jesus is about to bring a new covenant. Okay? And they also called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So it's real clear. This is, I always tell students, this is God in a bod right here. Right? This is Jesus in the flesh, God coming to earth to live as a human. And that's that weird, you know, hypostatic union. 100% God, 100% man. Yes, he was both. How can that be? And it doesn't equal 200% because it's God. Right? But then we see the key to it all. Joseph's obedience. All right? When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Isn't that always the key in the Christian life, is obedience? We can get all kinds of information, and what do we do with it? I tell students all the time, information without application brings no transformation. You want to see transformation, you want to see a life that's changed, you got to take what you hear and you got to put it in practice. And Joseph did that right away. Did he fully understand what was going on? No way. But he went home, took Mary as his wife, named his kid Jesus, did exactly what he was told. I tell students all the time, you know, obedience doesn't look sexy in our culture, okay? You know, no student ever walks around going, you know, I just love to obey my parents. You know, they get laughed at. But I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, obedience is sexy. It's what God loves out of his children. And Joseph was obedient, and he obeyed the Lord. Well, let me just give you some so what's here. So what do we do with a message like today? Okay? How about us? Are we being obedient to God's presence in our lives? Jesus came to save people from their sins. Man, are we sharing that good news with anyone? There is no age ceiling or age beginning where you can that says, this is now it's time, I'm old enough, or I'm too old, and I can't do it anymore, to share the good news of Jesus. There is no age limit on that. As a matter of fact, where's Ann Clodic at this time? Come on up here, Ann. Ann's going to share a little story about her grandson that I think is awesome. So we're going to wait for her to get up here. I wonder if I have a mic. Can we get this one's on? Lower it here, Ann. You know what? I think I can hand it to you. There you go.
With her friends from school, he decided it was his turn to have a Bible study to lead with his friends. So they have a Lego Bible study
once a month, and the boys come and they have a story, and then they build Legos to look like the story, and then they have treats and raise canes. They have a great time. So a couple of weeks ago, Joshua said, Grandma, guess what happened at Lego Bible study? We led my friend Bryce to the Lord.
Isn't that awesome?
So hilarious. Wonderful. Wonderful. Bill was talking about there's no age limit. So he's on this end, and I'm on the other end. And I just wanted to tell about a month ago, some of the Gideon ladies went to help with distributing Bibles in Brighton. And we were in the hospital, and I had an opportunity twice to give scriptures to different personnel there. We give a white one, which I didn't bring, and I was talking to a respiratory therapist, and I told him what we were doing, and he said, I'd love one of those Bibles. I've never met a real-life Gideon before. They're hiding inside the drawers in the hotels, I guess. And then as we were going down the hall, we had seen a gal whom I think is an aide a couple of times, and I approached her and I asked her if she would like a scripture. And she said, "Do you have them in Spanish?" And we had been giving Spanish scriptures out left and right to the nurses, and I did have one. I brought one to show you. It's a little dark blue one in Spanish. And so she was really excited. And I tell them when I give them a scripture, I said, put it in your pocket. If somebody needs it, give it to them, and we'll give you another one another day. So there you go, the two opportunities to give a present.
That's right. Thank you, Ann. Thanks. Legos for Jesus, that's awesome, isn't it? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, even the Legos. So let's use them for Jesus. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to give you, I always put so what, and I always tell students, this is your life work. Because nobody likes homework, because homework is no fun. But life work will improve your life and make you more like Jesus. So I'm going to give us all some life work this week. So anyway, take out your phones right now. If you've got a cell phone with you, take it out. It's okay, it's church. I know it's kind of scary to do this in church. Okay, but you can do that. Take it out. And, you know, one of the things I encourage our students all the time is just begin a conversation with a friend. And at Christmas, it's easy because everybody's talking about Christmas. So I want you to think of a friend that doesn't know the Lord. I want you to pull up their number and I want you to text them something to this effect. We were talking about Christmas this morning and what it means to each of us. What does Christmas mean to you? There's a non-threatening question just to send to a friend. And just do it. So I'm doing the same thing right now. I'm pulling up a friend. And I'm texting him, and I'm going to send him that as well. I typed my text up before I got up here because I didn't want to take a whole lot of time doing that. But you do that. So that's an opportunity for you to begin a conversation with a friend about Christmas. And they may end up asking you, hey, what does Christmas mean to you? And then you can have the opportunity to share them about the birth of Christ and that he came to save people from their sins and share the gospel with them. It's a great opportunity. So that's one way you can do that this week, okay? And here's what, as you're listening to them, let me encourage you to listen, to learn. One of the things we've done is we're not very good listeners anymore. And we need to listen to people when they're explaining, you know, and talking about stuff. Because, you know, as you listen, you learn more about them. And, you know, so one of the things we do in student ministry is ask, admire, admit. We ask and admire and ask and admire for a long time before we ever admit. The reason I believe in Jesus is because I need him. I'm too bad to make it to heaven without him. You know, and so we do those kind of things. So let me encourage you to listen, to learn, and then be able to share the good news with them as well. Second thing, on the back of your sermon insert, okay, there are a bunch of birthday ideas for Jesus. Okay? I don't have it with me. But there's a bunch of ideas that you can do to just be Jesus to people this week. Okay? You know, visit a hospital, buy socks and blankets. Visit those who are unable to get out and about. One of the things I do all the time is when we go to restaurants, I'll just ask the waiter or waitress, hey, we're going to give thanks for our food in a minute here. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And you wouldn't believe, seriously, at Crave Burgers in Castle Rock, which is really good, by the way. They've got some crazy ones. One of the waiters broke down on his knees and said, I need prayer, and I prayed for him. He came back a year later and told me, we were not having a kid, and I prayed for him to have a child. They were having a hard time having a child. He said, my wife and I started going to church the week after you talked to me. We've been going to church ever since. My wife is now pregnant, and we've trusted in Christ as our Savior. And isn't that great? Just because I said, hey, how can I pray for you while I eat stuff this burger? You know, it's a great opportunity. And there's a whole list of ideas on here for Jesus' birthday. By the way, it's got to be the weirdest birthday we ever celebrate, right? Imagine a birthday party like this. The person who's the guest of honor, you might say something to him, like maybe a prayer in the morning, Christmas morning, and then you rip into all his gifts, right? And you ignore him the rest of the day. It's just a weird birthday party, isn't it? These are ideas to help you to bring Jesus to the center of Christmas, okay? And I'm going to encourage you, that's assignment number two for all of us, is to give a gift to where you can't get anything in return. Just look for opportunities. Maybe it's buying something for the person behind you in the drive-thru line. Maybe it's something as simple as that. Just give a gift. That's why I have this listed here in number three. Each of you on your chair got a gift of some kind, a different color maybe. I'm a visual guy, and I need visual reminders. I don't know about you, but I'm a great forgetter. It's easy to just walk out here and say that was good information and then forget all about it. So here's what I'm asking you to do with this. I want you to put it in a prominent place where you're going to see it all week. I'd say your pocket, but it'll get squished, okay? I hung mine from the mirror in my truck, the rearview mirror, so it's dangling there in front of me going, okay, Bill, don't forget. And here's this gift to remind us to ask God to pray. God, give me an opportunity to share what Christmas means verbally with somebody this week. Give me an opportunity to share the hope of your son. Christmas is the birth of our hope. Give me an opportunity, Lord, and you're going to pray for that opportunity. And I know that when I pray for opportunities, God gives them to me. And then I'm going to pray as we leave today for boldness for all of us to, when we see that opportunity, to step forward. Okay? So three things for our life work this week. One, text or contact somebody. Some of you already did that. Done. Okay? Maybe you get a chance to do that with somebody else, right? Two is that we're going to look for a way just to give. God is the best of givers, isn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, he gave, he gave. Doesn't that describe who God is? He's a giver. And we should be givers as well. So God, give us opportunity this week just to give. And then thirdly, give us an opportunity, God, this week to be able to share the hope of Jesus, the gospel, with someone. We can do this. We've been given the opportunity. We're going to sing a song that talks a little bit about that. Worship team's going to come up, and I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you for your presence and for the greatest present in Jesus. Lord, there is no gift that could be greater than the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I don't care who wins the lottery or what we can find at the mall. Nothing is greater than the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give us opportunity this week. In Jesus' name, amen.